Thank the Lord for that message that's in that song. And I'm glad today that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. I'm glad He considers the church part of that light, and that He considers us a candle. And I'm glad that He also considers us each one an individual candle. A lot of analogies you could draw from a candle, but one thing about it, in a darkened place, a candle is a beacon of hope. And Lord, help me to be able to be that little beacon of hope in a world that is rather forgetful of God and seems like perhaps it's rather confused on what the next step is to be. The more I watch and read about the environment, politics, and the different religions, I see a very real mass of confusion. And no one really has an answer, do they? The Bible said every man's ways are right in his own eyes. And we live today, as humanity always has, I suppose, in very large amount, surrounded by special interest. Someone like Saddam Hussein quelled that special interest in the sense of, if you rise up, I'll kill you. But soon as he was unable to do that, all those special interest was everywhere. And you know, that makes the world a real confusing place. I'm glad it's a true light, and it lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And Lord, help me to have nothing but the true light of God. It quells and stops the confusion, not by force, but by truth. Isn't that amazing? We have tried to impose our will on other countries in different ways. Other countries impose their wills on others. The Lord comes and says, this is a way, and He doesn't impose it by force, but He imposes it by loving us and giving Himself for us. So thank the Lord for the truth, the light of the world. This morning, I'd like to talk some about you and me having a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. Very, in my mind, a very broad subject. I want to try to narrow in on a couple of aspects of that. You know, there's all kind of relationships, but they're not all proper. There's husband and wife's relationships that are sometimes in name only. Sometimes those relationships end in divorce. There's relationships at work that are seemingly for the good of the country, yet the company, but yet they don't really exemplify that. They're not proper. There's a proper relationship that God wants man to have with Him, and He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, that you and I might have a relationship that is productive, and that is happy, that is not confused, that is able to produce fruit that glorify the Lord. And we have an adversary who comes along and wants to disrupt that relationship. He wants to kind of wedge in. He wants to insert a little his ideology. He wants to come along and uplift something that doesn't uplift the Lord. He wants to stain or sting or burn the fruit, to put a taint on it of the flesh. But the Lord wants us to have a relationship with Him and the Father, whereby the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, all letters capitalized, may be glorified with our life. And I find in the Bible there's a way to do that. And there's a proper way to do that. And it begins by you and me having a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. Not one of distance, not one of hearsay, but a very personal relationship. And that's what I'd like to speak about this morning, if the Lord will permit it. Over in the book of John, the 15th chapter, I want to read the first 11 verses and then pick out a few points that sometimes maybe, well, I'll say it this way, that the devil would like for us to forget. And sometimes in our busyness of living, we may forget. But the Lord has something very definite in mind for you and me in that relationship. He has terms for that relationship. He has promises for that relationship. He has things that he is expecting to come out of that relationship. He is expecting that relationship to produce fruit that has a definite glow of the Father on it, and to show that it has been tended and mended and worked and groomed by the Master Himself. Let's read this morning the first 11 verses of John 15. This is the Lord speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Amen. Thank the Lord this morning for the Word of God that teaches us the expectations of God, teaches us what's available to us, that teaches us what is proper, teaches us what is improper, teaches us what is freely given to us of God, of joy that is promised to us, of happiness and of blessings, that we not only be just recipients of some, but that our joy might be full this morning, and not only bear a little smidgen of fruit now and then, but that our life through a relationship with Him might bear much fruit, a superabundance, very much, that it would be noticeable, that it wouldn't be just a little flash in the pan, but a consistent life, consistently in all the different seasons, bringing forth fruit. Every one of us probably have the ability as humans to be gracious in some situations. We all have our nature, our propensities. We all have our temperaments. And sometimes adverse things can happen to someone and they can display a tremendous amount of what we may call grace. They can be pleasant in adverse situations. But the Lord has something even better than that. He wants you and me to have a relationship with Him that in every season of our life, every situation we encounter, that we bring forth fruit. It will be like trees planted by the rivers of water. This morning I'm glad God has a higher calling than just a casual knowledge. I'm glad He has an experience whereby we can abide in Him and He will abide in us. Whereby His laws are not on tables of stone, but they're written on the fleshly tables of our heart. A relationship where we can know personally know the truth and be set free from the error of sin, the error of confusions, of sectism, and all the worldly applause of men. Thank God this morning. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Then a lot of people come along during the annals of history that says, follow me. But you know they're all dead or they're going to die. They none have a heaven to gear us to, take us to. They have no grace except some cultish allegiance. They have nothing that produces the fruit of the holiness and the righteousness of God the Father. So this morning, Jesus Christ in this relationship declares that he is the true one. Many had come perhaps before him. I think history will tell us that. And there were those who came after Christ. And he said, if you hear here or over there in the desert, he said, don't believe them and don't follow them. Well, you know those things are still perpetuated. Men's ideas and men's reasoning. But I'm glad this morning you and me can know the true vine. And we can know the one who planted it all. The one whose plan we call it. We can know him personally. God the Father. We never want to forget that. We never want to forget this is God's plan. So, what in this relationship, he has made his plan available. And may we always remember it's God's plan. It was his will that we be saved. It was his will that he send his only begotten son. And you and I can be now a partaker of that. And we thank God for that. In the second verse, he speaks about this relationship this way. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So we realize that in this relationship with Jesus Christ, we are to bear a resemblance of him. As he lived, so are we to live. As he conducted his affairs of life, so we should conduct our affairs of life. The spirit that motivated Christ should be the spirit that motivates us. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he taught them on the Sermon on the Mount to turn the other cheek, when they smote him and spit upon him and did all kind of adverse things to him, he turned the other cheek. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. This is when we read this word, taketh away, it means to bear away that which has been raised. We live today in a time when men believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. But the Lord speaks about the branch. If it bears not fruit, it is borne away, or it is taken away. It is carried off. I thought about that being carried off in two different ways. When you and I become detached from the vine, we can be carried off into all kind of false doctrine. We can be carried off into all ideology of man. We can come up with some real strange things on our own. And we're carried off. And we go off into desert places. We go off into places void of spirit and truth and the love of God. But he said that if we do not have this proper relationship with him, and we fail to bear fruit in the seasons of our life, we're purged, we're taken away. We're carried off. It means to be removed from its place. The Lord, we believe, sets the members in the body. And we believe the Lord also writes the name of the saints in the book of life. He takes in and he can put out, and he has that authority. And we need to realize this morning, as loving as God is, should we desire, or should we start, and should we fail to bear fruit on a consistent basis, the Lord will take us. He will remove the candlestick. He wrote to the churches in Revelation, and he said, I'll remove your candlestick. He was speaking to some degree to a collective group of people. But the fact remains is we have to develop and keep and have this relationship with God, or we'll be carried away. Another Greek part of this word, taken away, you would say it if you wanted to weigh or pull up an anchor. And to weigh the anchor or pull the anchor up. And we know what happens when our anchor does not hold. Some of us have been fishing before and you drop that anchor, but the waves are real choppy, and every time that boat rises, it raises up the anchor a little bit and you drift with the wind however much, and then it sets down and back and forth. And the first thing you know, if that anchor does not hold, you're not anywhere near where you're supposed to be. May the Lord help us this morning to understand that our hope of our anchor holding is to abide in Christ and His words to abide in us. And we thank God for that. A relationship, any relationship, whether it's a good one or a bad one, if you'll think about it, but mainly a good one we're speaking of this morning, it has to be maintained. I believe one of the greatest challenges to us as Christians is maintaining our relationship with the Lord. I think one of the main challenges to husbands and wives today is maintaining that relationship. We could go into a lot of ways you could do that and a lot of ways not to do that. But suffice it to say, if I draw my strength from God, if my hope of eternity is based on a solid experience and a relationship with Christ, I've got to do all within that I know to do to maintain it. I've got to apply myself. I've got to work out my salvation. I've got to apply myself diligently to this relationship. I want to encourage us this morning. If you're saved today, consider this well, that your life is in His hands, and a proper relationship with Jesus Christ cannot be casually treated. You treat your home casual, you're going to suffer. Your children are going to suffer. If you treat a relationship with God less than what it is to be, many people and yourself, me, we will suffer because of it. He said in the second verse also, in this relationship, the Lord reserves certain rights for us, or with us. We are the sheep of His pasture. Don't forget that. We are His planting. And we did not beget ourselves. We are a product of the love of God. We are not here because we chose to be here and made the way possible. The Lord reserves rights to us, and we're the sheep of His pasture. And He reserves the right to purge us, to cleanse us of the filth, of the impurities of the flesh. He has the right to come into our heart. Now, if I'm going to have a proper relationship with Him, I've got to allow Him that right. If a man's ways are right in his own eyes, and I'll make excuses. Lord, help us this morning to come to the tree of knowledge of life, to the tree of life itself, and let's let Him expose us. Let Him purge us. Let Him cleanse us, and let Him wash our lives. This word purge also can mean to purge us or cleanse us of the dross, which prevents us from being fruitful. We're going to speak a little more of that shortly. But that dross that hinders you and me being malleable in His hands, that dross that is not so pretty, that dross that maybe is hard and restrictive to the and resentful to the hand of the Lord. And God has the right, and He's expecting you and me to grant that in this relationship, that He can purge us. Don't hold on to something vehemently. If God is asking for something out of your life, regardless of how hard you may deem it to be to give up, give it up. Remember, in a proper relationship, He reserves the right to purge us, to cleanse us, to remove things that restrict you and me from being to the glory of God. It could be in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts, in our dress. It could be in absolutely any area of our life. It could be in our belief system. If we've imbibed a doctrine that's not true, whatever it may be, the Lord wants to come in and purge out in His people anything that's unlike Him. May God, may in this relationship be just that away. In the fourth verse, He says something that's critical to this relationship. Abide in Me. To live within the Word and the Spirit, have Christ in us. This word abide, it means to live, to dwell there. not a Sunday morning, not a Sunday evening, but every day of our life, abiding in Jesus Christ. He said a branch, that limb out there, you go by a peach tree, pear tree, and you'll see sometimes in the right time of the year, you'll see some very nice fruit sometimes hanging from that tree. But you know what would happen if that branch became independent and said, I have no need of thee. I don't need the tree. I don't need the, he's speaking here of vines as in grapes, I'm sure. I don't need the vine. I don't need the nourishment and the strength and the support that I draw from the vine. I'm going to be independent. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live the way I want to live. In this relationship we have with God, you remember this, that you can't do it without Him. It's impossible. And how many times do we see people, perhaps, that want to live independent? They want to drink their own water, wine. They want to eat their own bread. They want to do their own thing. But they would like the comfortability of being called by His name. I believe in Isaiah somewhere, it prophesied about a time like this. If people would not want to be called something other than a Christian, but they don't want to abide in Him. They don't want to live in Him. They want to eat their own bread and live their own particular kind of life. But a branch, remember this, in a relationship with God, we can't go it alone. We can't be independent. We can't abide outside of Him. We cannot look into the holy word of God and discount any portion of it. Jesus Himself said, it is written, man shall live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God, and not by bread alone, not by the rationale that this world is infatuated with, their own rationale, their own thinking. It's not new, but it is magnified in these days. We can't live outside of that. Abide in me, the Bible said. I'd like to say this now, this abiding in Christ. This is getting down now to the heart, I believe, of our relationship with Him, the proper relationship. And did you know, to say that I am of Christ and to be of Christ can be two different things. We must actually be abiding in Him. Well, I want to know which one of us went up to heaven and brought Christ down from heaven. Which one of us said, hold on everybody, I'll be right back, I'm going to go get Jesus, and I'm going to bring Him down here. We know the Bible teaches us that no man was ever able to do that. No man was able to say, you open up and let me come in. But we do know Jesus said He's the door. And He is an entrance into grace for grace. And if we come to Him, we can find an abode. But not because we made it so, but the good news is the Lord made it so. And let's go there for a moment. Over in the 14th chapter of John, in the 18th verse, the Lord was going away. John 14 and 18. I will not leave you comfortless. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He speaks about a time at this point yet to come where we can have a knowledge of our dwelling place. We can have a knowledge of who dwells in us. I believe in one place He told, was it Peter? You know not what spirit you're of. I'm glad that wasn't to be the final place that Peter had to dwell. But I'm glad that Peter, along with the church, can know the spirit that we're of. And by yielding to Him, He purges out those things foreign. By abiding in Him, He has jurisdiction over our life. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's integration, folks. That's not a one-way love affair. That's not just one saying, I love you, but that is you and me opening it up to Him, and He opening up His arms of love to us. The Father accepting the price and the penalty of His Son and the blood He shed, opening His arms and opening heaven up for you and for me. We can have a relationship this morning, not just in word, not just in small ways, but actually of abiding in Christ and Him in us. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and that he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Christ in us, our hope of salvation, our hope of eternal life. Christ and the Father in us, leading us into all truth. Christ and the Father in us by the Spirit of God, purging us, cleansing us, taking out the dross, that you and I might be the true metal in the hands of the Lord, that we can bring forth fruit, or we can bring forth, be jewels in His kingdom. But it comes by having this special relationship. This morning, this is something that's overlooked too many times by mankind. The Lord wants to live in you. And hence, by living, reign in you. He wants the authority. He demands the authority. He will receive the authority, or He will not dwell there. But in dwelling there, He'll do nothing harmful. He'll do nothing disrespectful. But He will purge us and He will cleanse us of everything that's unlike Him. He will show us the Father. He will show us how to live and how to conduct our life. He will teach us that we might be able to bring forth fruit that the Master will say, this is mine, and acceptable at the throne of grace. Can you imagine this for a little bit this morning? A great banquet. And can you imagine it's a rich man's banquet? And a man who is very sensitive to what is given to his guest and what is put on the banquet table. And can you see this morning that rich man, him looking at the banquet and he's looking at the fruits, the vegetables, the food that is prepared. And he wants only the best and will accept only the best. And he looks at things and he says, no, that won't do. It's got blemish. It's got spots on it. May we this morning. But he does, let me go back, but he will accept. Ah, that's what I'm looking for. God wants to accept us in the beloved. He's made us acceptable in the beloved. But it is as you and I yield to him, as you and I come to him and confess our sins and washed from our committed transgressions, as we yield our body, our soul, our heart, our mind, implore Him for the Holy Ghost of God to come and live within us. He begins a work of taking out and extracting everything that would not bring glory to His name. And He begins to mold us and shape us, a heart that can be touched this morning. He reserves that right. He will not relinquish that right. He will come in my life, in your life, and abide there, but it's on His conditions. Too many times this world, through sectism and through ignorance and through unbelief, want to dictate the terms. But may I say, the Lord, He is very selective, and He's not going to change to fit the whims or the peculiarities that you or me may have this morning. And He said, this is good news to me. We'll make our abode with Him. What a wonderful, wonderful thought that is. He'll come with His leadership and He'll come with His authority. The Bible speaks about Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, it speaks about you and me being the temple of God. The Bible also speaks about the church coming together, wherever the church may be, is the body of Christ. We are joints. We are parts of the body. But we understand by us being the body that we have to have a head. And this morning, thank God that Jesus Christ is declared to be the head. Said a little bit about independence. Be real careful here. There is something about me and you as people that we want to reserve something for ourselves. I'm not going to say in every case, every situation, as far as the temporal world, that's wrong. But you take that over into a place where God doesn't want it to be. And he said, without me, you can do nothing. Be very careful of independence. Be very careful of saying, I can do it. Be very careful of thinking that you have a monopoly on God. Be very careful of independence and thinking that maybe I don't really need God at all. We live in a very independent United States. And I'm sorry about the oil prices, folks. I can't do anything about it. It's all on the news or read on the news this morning. May go to $4 a gallon. I don't know where it's going to go. But you know, maybe we could learn from this. Maybe we could get a lesson on independence and how unindependent we really are. You know, we have a drought right now, don't we? And I feel sorry for the wheat farmers. Some of you have direct connections to the wheat farmer. And I really feel sorry for them. This is a hard place. You know, we need to get a lesson from this. It's God that sends the rain. It's God that gives the sunshine. Yet we have been raised to almost whatever we want. It's at our fingertips. We sometimes can get independent because of that. But you remember, as I need to remember this morning, without Him abiding in me and you, we can do absolutely nothing. We are totally liable on what the weather does, what someone else does. We have no strength. We have no jurisdiction of our own. So in this world, this time, it's easier to forget God. I believe that. But you know, if we'll make Him the King, if we'll make Him Lord of Lords in our life and let Him be, take that old independent spirit out and let God put His Holy Spirit in, did you know it's not as easy to forget then? Because He's an abiding presence. In verse 6 of the 15th chapter, He said, if any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Down through my little 10-year of being saved, we've all seen it perhaps. We've seen branches, if you will, that for some reason think they can do it alone or do it some other way. But you know what has happened, and I think your experience would show that. They begin to dry up. Things are not as important as they once were. And first thing you know, things begin to creep in their life that once they said that's wrong. After a while, unbelief. Things creep into the flesh. And then the Spirit of God no longer has authority or dwells there, and to supplant that, they have to interject their modes, their reasoning, their type of religion. They have to supplant the Spirit of God and His leadership with what we call man rule. Sometimes it goes so far as to say, I don't want anything to do with religion. May the Lord help us as the branch this morning to know we need the true vine. And without Him, we can do nothing. He said He is cast forth. It's let go of. Again, we don't like to think of God letting people go. But He said He gave them up to strong delusion. He gave them up to a reprobate mind. When they chose of their own volition to go against God, God says go. He has to turn loose. His own word, His own way requires that. It's not that He throws us out. It's not that He says, get out of my sight. But as men and women develop other ways and independence and not allowing him to reign here and want to walk further than he says walk, act in ways that he says do not act that way, have attitudes and mindsets that's contrary to him, he'll let them go forth. I believe he cries. I believe he causes his heart to ache. May the Lord help us this morning to realize that without him, we cannot do anything. But here's some good news. We can bear much fruit with him. I've said something like this before here. But you know, I think every one of us enjoy someone saying, attaboy, you know, attagirl. I think we all enjoy a good compliment. I don't think that's wrong. I believe we all want to be appreciated, and I do not believe that's wrong. What about God saying, well done? What about the fruit of my life or your life bringing glory to God? Isn't that an attaboy? Isn't that an attagirl? Isn't that well done? To know that the way I behave myself proved to a gainsaying world there's a God in heaven and he lives in the hearts of the believer. I believe that is good. And God has that for us. That you and me might bring forth much fruit. But listen to this. That the Father, you know, there's things that just ought to humble me and you, and this is one that humbles me. To think that God could be glorified with my life. Wow. That's what he wants to do to every with every one of us. Abide in us, dwell in us, live in us. That he is actually glorified by the words and the actions and the thoughts of our life. But you know, we can't do it without him. Over in Proverbs, the 25th chapter, in the 4th verse. Proverbs 25 and 4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. I want to read this to you in another translation. I forgot to jot down the translation. Take the impurities out of silver, and a vessel is ready for the silversmith to mold. Impurities not only discolor, impurities can harden. Impurities can cause the silver, in this case, or the gold in another case, or the material, not to act in the proper consistency or be of the proper consistency, not have it having the right qualities that the refiner or the silversmith wants to make. And it'll mar, Jesus said, the potter in his hands. And it will not bring forth a statement as to the quality of the silversmith. God wants my life and your life to reflect the quality of Jesus Christ. In order to do that, we've got to allow him to live in us, take the dross out. And what did the writer in Timothy say? That he shall be a vessel unto honor. God wants you and me to be a vessel of honor. I don't know of any other way to do that than to be possessed by God. To having God live in me, live in you through the Holy Ghost. To be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, distinguished, understood to be the property of God. And meet for the master's use, or good for the master's use, proper, fitting for the master's use. Oh, this is where God wants us to be today, that we're fit for the master's use. But the only way we can do that, the only way we can bear fruit, the only way we can be the precious metal of God is to allow the furnace, allow the tempering, allow the Holy Ghost, allow the entrance of God, the kingship of God to dwell in us, purging out, taking out, refining us. He said, our God is a consuming fire. And that which will remain will not be consumed because it is wrought of God and wrought of the Holy Ghost. He said, and prepared for every good works. I get two things there. One is we're ready for every good work. The vessel is there, and when God calls for it, it's prepared, it's ready. Another thought I get from that is that God Himself prepares it. And God Himself sets it in the order. It puts it in the right place. I'd like to read with you now over in Malachi, the third chapter of Malachi. Malachi 3, first two verses. Behold, I send my messenger. Malachi 3 and 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who shall abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire. Jesus Christ, the Lord. You'll notice this is not Lord like in Jehovah Lord. We'll see Jesus Christ. And we also see, I believe, the working of the Holy Ghost of God. Hold that place. But let's go over into Luke, the third chapter now. Proper relationship. Luke, the third chapter, and the 16th verse. John the Baptist answered, the people say it. The 16th verse of the third chapter of Luke. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Thank God this morning for the readings of the Word of God. And the Lord wants to come today into our temple, into His house, and purge us. His fan will be in His hand, and the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire. But He wants to purify us and clarify us before Him. He wants to take the dross and the chaff out of our life, so when it comes time to be used of us, we can be used in a way that will glorify Him. He wants to purge us and wash us and cleanse us, perfect us, cause you and me to be a vessel of honor, sanctified, set apart, possessed of the Holy Ghost, that we can be meet for the Master's use. He wants us to be the silver tried in the fire, all dross removed, that then you and me can be malleable. We can be molded and shaped into His image, that the world can see there's a God in heaven and He has a people on this earth. May we be encouraged this morning that we have this relationship with Him, whereby He lives in us and reigns in us and dwells in us, where He has right away as a consuming fire to burn out those places like self, to burn up those places that you and I are chafing under, to burn out those places that if we don't get rid of them, we'll never be able to be utilized of the Lord. And we will be cast aside, or we'll be sent forth, or we'll be turned loose of. We don't want that in life. People don't backslide, generally speaking, overnight. But it is a process of not yielding to God in all things. It's not allowing the dross to be purged out. It's not allowing that little bit of unbelief to be worked with by the faith of God. It's not allowing the love of God to come in where there's a little bitterness in one's life or resentment or a hurt feeling, and we hold on to that dross. Then the Lord wants to mold us and shape us, but there's stiff places, hard places in our life. God wants to come and abide in us. You know, when you buy a new house or a new-to-you house, generally every one of us start a renovation project, maybe small, but we get rid of the old and bring in our touch and bring in what we like. Maybe put new curtains up. Oh, I don't like that old green carpet. I want blue carpet or whatever. We start renovating to some degree or some extent or another. The Lord wants to come in and possess us. Have ownership, a clear title. Does God have this morning a clear title to my life, to your life? Back over now in third chapter of Malachi, and we're going to start at the third verse. And he shall set as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. O saints of God, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Lord wants a righteous sacrifice from a pure vessel. He wants us to abide in Him so we can be pure. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem. This is God's people. That's what He's speaking of here. Judah was the southern half of the kingdom, but it represents the people of God at that time and today. Jerusalem was the where the temple was, where the tabernacle, the temple was, where the ark of the mercy seat, the ark of the covenant was. It was a dwelling place of God. God dwells in His church today. God dwells in the believers' hearts that have been washed and made pure. He said, then our offering. Can I change that? Our offering. Our sacrifice. The sacrifice of love. The sacrifice that you and me, the fruit of our life. Be pleasant unto the Lord. Isn't that what we want with our life? A life that's pleasing to God? We can have that if we have a proper relationship. We can't do that in our own power. Without me, you can do nothing. The Lord wants to come and live in our life. And He wants to come there with authority, as a king. And He wants to have a prerogative to do with us whatever He sees fit. He wants the authority granted to Him by us to purge us, cleanse us, make us pure gold or pure silver, make our vegetables and our fruit of our life where the Lord can say, this is the planting of the Lord. This is something the Lord has done, and bring glory to His name. If we're rebellious and stiff-necked and hard-headed and can't get along and contentious, all those kind of things that man seems to get along in this world with, we're not going to bring glory to His name. But if we allow the consuming fire of the Holy Ghost to come into our life, He will thoroughly purge us. Oh, He'll possess us. And oh yes, as we grow in grace and grow in knowledge, there'll be areas where we have to be, Lord, I haven't seen this before, but yes, by all means, take it out of my life. May God help us. That He can perfect us into an image. This is my son. This is my church. This is my body here on earth. And then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord. I want that out of my life. And I believe today if we will have that proper relationship with God, whereby He is indeed King of Kings, I believe we can have a life that will glorify God. So look today, let's look on our relationship with Him. Is it proper? Is God someone that I call on every time I get in trouble? And that's about it. Is God God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? When is God God in our life? When is He King? When we're out on the highway running out of gas? Is He God in our praise and our thanksgiving? Is He God in our will and our submission? Is He God in the offering of our life? Lord, take my life and let it be. Oh, listen. He wants to be God of everything. He wants to come and live and dwell and reign and abide in us. That's the proper relationship He wants. Pray for me.